Today I will believe and confess that Jesus Christ was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him. And by Jesus' stripes, I am healed. All right, praise the Lord. Now, like we say before, if you believe it, let's give Jesus a hand clap. All right, so then we understand the Bible is clear on what Jesus did for us. All right, so that all that pain and suffering was not in vain. Amen. There was a reason for it, and we're going to take advantage of that reason. All right, so we're going to always take advantage of the what Jesus went through and not try on our own to do these things. Today, I want to start, I'm going to read some scriptures out of the book of Luke, and then I'll tell you what my message is and my thesis I'm going to try to get out of this. But we're going to go to Luke chapter 6, and we're going to look in three different chapters, Luke chapter 6, 11, and 22. Only a couple verses out of each, but that's what we'll go to. So Luke chapter 6, when you get it, just say amen. All right, and we're going to begin at verse 12, and we'll read verse 12 and 13. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. Now go to Luke chapter 11. Just flip right over to chapter 11. And we're going to begin reading at verse 1, Luke chapter 11, verse 1. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. All right, the last place I want to go is Luke chapter 22. Let's go over to chapter 22. And let's look at verse 31 through 34. Luke 22, verse 31 through 34. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. And when you art converted, strengthen your brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with you both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we thank you again for just the opportunity to come into your house. And we just thank you for the power of your word. We thank you that you revealed yourself to us in Jesus. And that, Father, we know that we have access to life and the bread of life through him. We thank you, Father, that you have, in fact, adopted us as children into the family because of what Jesus did. Father, we pray and ask that everything we do today will be acceptable in your sight, that we might learn and grow from it. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. All right, today I'm doing a message that I'm simply entitling Primary Communication, Our Father. Primary Communication, Our Father. All right, so now for my thesis, where I'm trying to go. In other words, hope I don't lose you. If I don't do this, then it means I didn't get where I was trying to go. That is that it's important that we communicate with God in order to deepen our relationship with him, establish our faith in him, and receive the help we need from him. I'll say it again. It's important that we communicate with God in order to deepen our relationship with him, establish our faith in him, and receive the help we need from him. Now, I read some scriptures here today, and it's important that we understand, I think, as believers. You know, we've been doing in Bible study the book of Colossians, and I tell people it's good to start there as a believer once you get saved in Colossians, I think, because it sets out everything about Jesus, who he is, and all the questions that can arise about him and his divinity and whether or not he's God and all these kind of things that can come about. Religion and practices and all of this. But what we see here is something basic that sometimes gets skipped over, I think, by those of us who are supposed to be believers. Several things we see in the scriptures that we read this morning. One was that before Jesus made a very, very important decision about who he was going to allow to be the apostles to take this message forward, he went into prayer, and literally the Bible says Jesus prayed all night long. And it causes me many times to pause and to wonder, you know, for many of us, and I'll keep this in the first person this morning, how many times I really seek God long enough about important decisions before I make them. In other words, that I've got things that I've got to do, things I want to make happen, things I think ought to be done. And how much time do I sincerely spend in prayer with God to find out his will on the subject and get his peace so that I know that the decision I'm about to make is going to bring the life that the Bible says we're supposed to get? In the book of Proverbs, it tells us in Proverbs chapter 3, it talks about 3 verses 1 through, I think, 10, that if in all of our ways we'd acknowledge God, that he would direct our path, and that this way then we could find peace and long life through God if we, in fact, were to pursue. Why don't you put that up there for me right quick? Go to Proverbs chapter 3, put verse 1 through 11 or so. It just came, I didn't know I didn't give you all those, but just go to that little quick deal and give it to me right quick. It's coming. I know it's coming, right? All right. Well, that's okay. I can flip over there quick. There it is. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. And for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about your neck. Write them upon the table of your heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. All right, so let's think about this in the sense of what Jesus did then, right? So Jesus needs to choose his disciples, and what he does is he goes to prayer. He does not sit and meditate about it, so to speak. He doesn't go and ask people what their opinion is about anybody in particular. What he does is he goes to pray. And the Bible says he stays in prayer literally all night. Now, personally, it's just me saying, it would seem to me that if I had a decision of any major impact, I would at least want to stay in prayer an hour. All right, if Jesus prayed all night about something, it might be something in my life that I need to pray all night about. One of the things I think for sure is like getting married and getting personal relationships with people. To me, that's an all-night prayer. That probably ought to be an all-week prayer. You know, some people don't pray like Jesus prays. So we need to, you know, put in a little bit. It took Jesus all night. It might take us 3-4 days. But we need to make sure, because that's an important situation. You're talking about who you wake up with. You're talking about who you go to bed with. You're talking about who you go on vacation with. You're talking about who is there all the time at the house you living in. It would seem to me that that'd be really important to pray about quite a long time to make sure that what I'm doing, what it is that God would want me to do in the choice that I'm making, that this really makes sense, right? So we see Jesus praying all night, and then we see an occasion where his apostles say, Lord, teach us how to pray. Now, I'm not one of the red word people. You know, I mean, I don't say, well, the red words ought to be more important than the rest of the Bible. But we do need to be understanding of the fact that the words that are put in red are put there to let us understand this is what Jesus said. Now, it does not mean the rest of the word is any less important. That's not the point. But it is interesting to go and be able to actually read something and know that what? This isn't Paul telling you what Jesus told him, i.e. through the Holy Spirit, which we understand it's all God. So don't go off nowhere until my pastor said to read. Ain't what I said. Saying when Jesus was standing here, these were the words that literally came out of his mouth while he was standing there versus what? The Holy Spirit communicating to apostles that are writing. Still the same word, yeah, But I'm just saying, let's hear what Jesus said. They ask him a question. Teach us how to pray. Now, right then you think, bling, you know, our light would go off to say, wait a minute, whatever I'm praying ought to be tailored to what it is that Jesus said this is how you pray. Well, I'm going to start, and that's why I put primary communication as the title, Our Father. And I said that as my thesis when I get through this, I'm hoping what will happen is I'm going to communicate with you so that you understand that your communication with God is necessary to deepen your relationship with him, to establish your faith in him, and then to receive the help you need from him. See, many people, and as Paul said this in one place, he said there's some people who would dare to die for a good man. I've seen people say it. And if we're in a fight, we're going down together, right? That's, and we mean it. They really mean it. But the Bible says that when we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. People who hated him, he died for, right? So we know that Peter was a man's man. Peter said, Lord, I'm telling you, I'm ready to die with you and go to prison. And Jesus said, Peter, by the end of the night, you're going to have denied me three times. And Peter was like, he said, you don't even know me. And Peter was like, no way. There was no way Peter could conceive of himself as the guy who would actually sit there and deny that he knows this man that he's been going around with. He literally says out of his mouth, I'm ready, Lord. Well, he says this in response to what Jesus tells him. He says, Peter, Satan hath desired to sift you. Now, that means that just like with Job, there was a specific request made by the devil to deal with Peter. Now, one of the reasons I think this may be was because Peter was always talking. I mean, if you look throughout the times, every time Jesus would say something, Peter had an answer. One time when Jesus said he's going to be crucified, Peter said, not you, Lord. And the Bible says he took the Lord and started rebuking him. So the Bible says that Peter was very quick. When Jesus was walking on the water, Peter said, if that's you, Lord, bid me to come. Peter jumped out the boat. And people will criticize Peter because he began to sink. But the question is, how many of you all have actually walked on water? Not many, even for a couple seconds. At least Peter got a couple feet. He went, he did sink, I get it. But he walked on water because he obviously believed enough in the Lord and what the Lord was saying that he stepped out on his faith. But when he began to look around at all the stuff going on, he realized, oops, what I done got myself into. And he began to sink and he screamed out, Lord, save me. And the Lord grabbed him and saved him, right? And he said, why did you doubt, Peter? Well, the Lord knew why he doubted, because he really didn't understand what he was up against. Well, likewise, people have no real clue what we're up against. If we really go through the scriptures, the Bible tells us that God created man and put man here in this realm as a physical being to take dominion over a physical planet, etc. But he also created in the beginning of time these angelic forces who have powers way beyond men. In one place, the Bible says one angel killed 189,000 men. One angel. Now, if angels have that kind of power and ability, can you imagine then what a host of them have? Can you imagine if Satan is the head of that host, the tremendous power that he has to come against people and to destroy lives? When people look at the planet and wonder where all this devilment and craziness and warring comes from, that's the source of where it comes from. So the Bible says we're not in the devil's kingdom, though. We've been translated into the kingdom of light. The problem is we've got to come to a place where we fully understand how that kingdom works. The kingdom of light, kingdom of darkness. In the kingdom of darkness, you whip out your sword and you cut off ears. That's what happened in the garden. That's why Peter knew, oh, I got this. Peter was like, I'm ready to go to prison with you and to die. And he meant it. And so can you imagine this? 600 soldiers coming, and Peter has the nerve to pull his sword out. How you gonna fight 600 people? He don't know, but he finna do it. But Jesus tells him, put your sword back. What? Lord, I'm gonna need you to understand now, you do see what's happening right now, right? Not only does he tell him to put his sword back, he reaches out and heals the ear of the guy he done cut his ear off. That's not the fight Peter signed up for. This is why Jesus said, Peter, Satan hath desired to sift you because he kind of knows you. And what he's going to do is he's going to come at you. And when you talk about sifting wheat, it's kind of like you would take the thing and you'd rake it and you throw it in the air. And the idea is that whatever the chaff is, the wind blows it away. And the only thing that falls to the ground is wheat. That's what they mean by sifting. So he says, Satan has desired you to sift you. And he didn't say, I'm not going to let him. What did he say in the next verse? He says, look, I prayed for you so that after he threw sifting you, that you'll come back and that hopefully what? Once you're converted, you'll strengthen your brethren. In other words, all the stuff they're going to be going through, you'll be able to tell them, look, God got you. It's going to be okay. Trust me. Why? Because he knows he's been in a fight that he really should have lost because what? He had no idea what he was up against. If the Lord had not forgiven him for denying him, you know, sometimes the way we can be, I said I was going to keep this in the first person. The way I know I could be, you know, I say I forgive you, I forgive him. That, I don't mean I got to talk to him, does it? You know, so you know deep down, you somewhere you holding on to something probably. You just don't want to acknowledge it. Jesus wasn't doing that. He literally forgave Peter. Can you imagine that? A guy you've been running around with for 3 years, And he tells you, I'm going to death with you. I'm going to go to prison with you. And then when the fire hits, he denies even knowing you. He don't know you. I don't know you. That'd be like I see y'all in the mall and somebody over there beating me up. And I point at one of y'all and say, help. And you say, they say, you know him? I don't know him. Can you imagine how you'd feel if I was that person, right? Y'all over there, you getting beat up or something, and I'm standing over there, and you point at me, and they say, you know him? No, not at all. You sure? I'm positive. And you're getting to hear this now, and then you come back to church Sunday, eyes swole, you all wrapped up, and you walk up to me and say, Pastor, I understand. I forgive you. And you really mean it now. It's hard. You got to realize this is a really hard thing that had to be done. Peter understood what Jesus had done in reaching out. But what Peter did not understand was they had been in the garden not long ago praying and everybody's sleeping. You know, Jesus was like, hey, can't you watch with me for an hour? Fell asleep. Jesus said, look, y'all go on, take your sleep. And the Bible says he went back and prayed again, and three times he besought God not to have to go through what he was about to go through. And if there was any other way, Lord, please take this cup away. And the Lord didn't. So obviously there was no other way. So Jesus, when we describe what he went through, you know, with the thorns in his head and all of the stuff that happened, and I've mentioned it on several occasions, that, you know, if you put thorns in anything, it tends to swell flesh. So if they put a crown of thorns on his head, literally, and pushed it into his head had to swell. There had to be blood coming out of everywhere. All this stuff is happening. It's beating him and whipping him and all this stuff. And God's like, all that's necessary. And this is why then we know that God is like, look, it's only through Christ then that we get our forgiveness. Now, today, though, what I want to talk, though, about is the beginning and opening of what Jesus said about teaching us to pray. And this explains much of what goes on in our lives and sometimes what goes on that people don't understand or are upset about or angry or whatever, not understanding where we're going. In John chapter 3, verse 1 through 8, Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. And the Bible says that Nicodemus began to ask Jesus a question. Go ahead and put those verses up. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that you do except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. So we see then now that Jesus tells Nicodemus, you have to be born again. Jesus starts off when they ask him, teach us to pray. He doesn't start off saying, Almighty and powerful God that created the heavens and the earth, O God of all creation, O God that killeth everything. Oh, he doesn't do that. He starts off saying, for you all, you start off our Father. So then he establishes something for us as believers right out of the chute. And that is that God, although he is God, considers us his children, provided what? We're born again. In other words, there's no way that anyone can claim like we do in the world, and I get it. You know, if you want to get along, you know, some people just go along to get along, right? That's what we're doing. Some people just going along to get along. So we all God's children. Amen. Anytime you hear a stream of consciousness that we all God's children, yes, that's a let's go along to get along. Now, I'm not about getting against anybody. Bottom line is that we've all been children of the devil, the Bible says. It tells us this. We all have been. But we must be born again. You cannot be a child of God. Jesus declares it himself out of his mouth unless you're born again. So in order for you to pray the way Jesus teaches you to pray so that God is your Father, you must be born of the Spirit of God. You have to be born again. Now, some will say, well, you can't take claim on God. I said, this is why I don't like to debate and argue with people. The Bible tells you don't, and here's another reason. People have a right to believe whatever they want. I'm trying to teach you because you're supposed to be Christians. So we want to understand what Jesus said to us, right? Now, if others choose not to believe it, well, I don't know what to do about that. We don't worry about that. We want to know, do we understand? Do we really understand what's happening here and why it's happening? And it'll help us a lot of times. So if Jesus tells us you must be born again and you come to God as Father, then you understand something. In John chapter 8, let me go over there right quick. John chapter 8, beginning at verse 42, we see it straight out of Jesus' mouth. He's having a conversation, if you will, with the Jewish leaders. And this is what he says. Jesus said unto them, If God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father, the devil. And the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. He, when he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Wow. All right, now, so here we go again. So when we go in the world and people keep saying, well, you know, y'all, Jesus, I said, look, this is my point. This is why I can't do nothing different. Now, this is why the devil likes writing lots of new Bibles. Because what he wants to do is change up stuff that Jesus said so he makes it more palatable to the current situation. Now, this is pretty clear to me. Jesus said, look at verse 42. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me. Now, there then leaves no room for God that Jesus is talking about. Being your God or your father, you have to love Jesus. Some people say, well, I mean, I just don't know anything. I just don't think Jesus that's necessary. Well, then you don't have God. You can't tell people they don't have God. Yes, I can as a Christian. They don't have to believe me. I'm just telling you what Jesus said. Jesus said, if God were your father, then you would love me. So if you say you have no need of me, you don't have God. Well, that's what you believe.
Yes.
And I ain't mad. See, the one thing people are going to find out, if it's really God, you'll find that we don't get angry. I ain't got to defend God. I don't have to blow up nothing. I don't have to throw nothing at you. I don't have to kill you, crucify you, or do nothing to you. I'm satisfied with who I've believed, and I know what the scriptures say. It's people who always want to kill us. They want to blow up my church and our church or cuss us out or throw rocks at us. Why? That's because I just don't believe what you're saying, and I'm telling you I believe what Jesus said. You can't not have Jesus. I'm sorry. I don't know what to tell you. But I also know that I can't fight you back the way Peter fought you back. Because, you know, there's some things I could do too. But Jesus already said, don't do that. That's not how this works. You want to be in the kingdom now. I'm going to need you to live the way I live. You're going to have to take some of these insults and some of these things people are going to say about y'all and just let it go. You have to understand, God is trying to save people. He don't need you to condemn them. They already condemned. He needs you to give them a message so they can get saved. That's what he's trying to do, right? And so you go believe it. Yeah, see, sometimes, I'm not going to talk about it. I said I'm going to keep it in first person. Sometimes I don't believe God. I can say I believe him all I want now, but come on, truth of the matter is, how can you really say you believe the God in the Bible, yet then you have people telling you things like this? Well, you know, the Bible, in Proverbs, I heard somebody say this the other day. Well, those are generalities. In other words, these things generally happen for people. I said, oh, okay, so what you want me to preach to people is, in all your ways acknowledge him, and generally, he'll direct your path. That's what I'm supposed to be teaching our folks. That's what we're supposed to be believing. Honor the Lord with your substance, and generally, he'll increase you. Yeah, you know, well, I tend to believe it another way. And that is, I think that God is like this. To those who generally follow me, I generally respond. That's what I think going on. I think, you know, to change it on God, to say, well, I know some Christians that this didn't happen the way that says. But that, I just don't believe that. You would have to make God like this kind of, we don't know now. I mean, does God do it or not? Well, generally he does. Well, how can I get into the general? How do you get in the general category? Well, God makes that decision. You see how you basically make a God that we can't pin down to nothing. Does God generally save people who call on Christ? Because it does say, whosoever calls on Christ shall be saved. Oh, but is that generally? Mm-mm, no. God does what he says he do if we do what we say he says we ought to do. That's the way we got to go in with God, because there's no other way to see him when you go through the scriptures. He defines himself that way. I am the Lord. I make alive. I kill. I this. And when he says these things, he's not saying I kill like I go out. No, but all God got to do is back away, which is what he tried to get Peter to understand. Peter, you're going to be the man. I got a ministry for you, Peter, like none other. Which is true. Peter was like at the head of all the apostles. He said, but, and you done walked on water. Peter, you the guy. But I got to get you straight. Because I don't need you thinking you can do this, Peter, yourself. So guess what? Satan hath desired to sift you, and I'm going to let him have you. But I done prayed for you now. So Jesus already knew what he was going to do. Jesus already knew. Satan's going to put pressure on you so much tonight that, sir, by the end of the night, you will deny me. And Jesus knew it already. Jesus told him what was going to happen. And it happened. Peter was just like, uh-uh. Matter of fact, they say in another place, he said that'll never happen. And all the other apostles said the same thing. No, Lord, no way. Yeah, they all were very self-confident. And there's nothing wrong with self-confidence. But remember what I told you all last week. Any kind of ministry or preaching or thing that's building my self-confidence, I need to just walk away from that. Because my self-confidence ain't going to get me nowhere. God needs to establish, that's why I said through communication, I need to deepen my relationship with God so that I become like the psalmist who says what? The psalmist says, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be cast into the sea, yet will I still trust God. So he's standing there in the midst of what he's saying is mountains can be being moved. Earthquakes can happen. All kind of things can be going on. Yet I trust God. Nothing moves me. Why? Because he's in a relationship deep enough with God to know that whatever's going on, God has a reason he's letting it happen, and I'm not going to get in God's way trying to tell him I don't think this is how it ought to be. Let it roll, you say. Let God be God and everybody else be a liar. So we see God then declaring, Jesus telling them, you're not all God's children. Then he tells us something about in 1 John chapter 3. I want to go over there. He gives us 1 John. John gives us a clue, if you will, if you want to call it that, as to when you know, because a lot of people can say they are and all. But in 1 John chapter 3, look at verse 7 through 10, it says this, little children, let no man deceive you. Y'all see that? Let no man deceive you. And that man, that word man means humans. Let no human person deceive you. So sometimes you'll see man, it's the species, sometimes it's man, male. This is man, the species. So don't let no man or any woman deceive you. Now, y'all see that? None, nobody, not me, nobody deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever therefore is born of God doth not commit sin. For his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. So he sets out for us a way to understand it. Now, he's not saying that what we don't commit sin in a sense that we don't sin. He's talking about the practice of sin. In other words, we recognize that there's certain things in the scripture that God says are not right. They're sin. And when we commit them, it bothers us. Our conscience is impacted by them. We don't sit around and say it's okay to do these things. We recognize they're wrong, and we ask God to forgive us as we do what? Forgive others. We come to communion asking God, confessing our faults and our sins and judging ourselves and saying, God, we know this lifestyle, or this thing I got going on, or this problem is not right. And that's what children of God do. On the other hand, the children of the devil take things that God has declared as sin, live them and do them, and say it's all right. See, so God give you a straight dividing line now. So all you got to do is go find the list anywhere. The list is always the same. It includes some list of sexual sins, some list of greed, some list of hating and malice with other people. That's the list everywhere you go. And so to practice any of these things and suggest it's okay, God says, that's not righteous. Don't let nobody deceive you. Don't let nobody tell you where you know where. You're just a man. You're just a woman. That's what we're going to do. God accepts that. That's why Jesus died. That's a lie. The Bible tells you that's a lie. Look at verse 8. It says, he that commits sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. That's why he came. He came to destroy that. There's things in our life that, yeah, they're wrong. But you know what? The power of God, he can destroy them. He may not have blown it up yet, either because I don't have the faith, I haven't pursued it, I ain't done whatever I was supposed to. But the truth of the matter is, Jesus was manifested to help me get that out of my life and to live righteous before God, our Father. Now, think about this. If we're God's children, anybody here got children that have them? Or just been around you? Let me say this. You know that children left to themselves, the Bible says, will just go. They like branches. They just grow anywhere. Like what Sister April said this morning, you know, wild trees just are growing. Well, they don't have no direction. So even trees, you see it in nature. If you want a limb to go, you cut this one and you cut that one to expose it to the sun, and trees will tend to be dominant one way or the other depending upon how they're pruned and what's going on. Same thing with us as people. If we're the children of God and God declares himself to be holy, you do recognize he ain't gonna put up with unholiness. I don't know where this God came from that people are dealing with. Well, we know the devil, we know how the devil brings them in. But the point is that what? God is holy. You can tell when somebody has their children under control, I like to call it, right? Because the children may be acting and doing things, and all they got to do is say something or do something in particular, and the children dial it back. You know, they might be whatever. And if you just let them go, they'll run all the way up the wall. But there's nothing wrong with that. I never look at a child and go, man, what's wrong with you? I never do that. I might look at their parents at some point and say, now I know you see that child halfway up the wall. Do you want to grab your child? Please don't make me have to grab them. My goodness, just tell them, you know, that's a wall. And I'm not going to say what's wrong with that child. I've been that child, okay? I'll do anything, okay? We would go to church. My dad would count the money, and I've probably said this before in here. You know, my dad would be one of the deacons. They were counting money, and while they were counting money, I was getting into mischief. And that's why this church is all locked up. You know, people will try to figure out, why this church all locked up? You know, you go down that hall, can't get not a don't. When you go that way, somebody's standing around there. You can't go through no dope unless somebody saw you go through. Why? Because of me. I mean, after church, it was amazing how, you know, you could get into even the pastor's office, you could get in. Because his door was unlocked. He done went on home. Go down that scary hall that got all the pictures of the old pastors. You know, you're hoping they ain't watching you, you know, as you're creeping down the hall. And then you go in the secretary's office first. It's open. You can rummage through a desk and everything. You know what I mean? What, you don't lock your desk? Mm-mm, ain't lock it. Pastor office ain't locked. Go in there, look around. I used to love turning the pictures upside down on the hallway, you know. Pastor so-and-so, flip it over and go on. Why my dad in there? Deke, counting money. So is it his fault? Mm-mm, because if he'd have seen me, he'd have got me. No, it's church administration fault in that situation. Somebody should have known. Y'all need to have somebody watching these doors or lock them. Because if you got children running around up here, they might get into anything. That's just how it happens. Why do you think they make those little plastic plugs that you put in the thing? Because children stick their finger and anything they can find in there is not right, and they could get die that way. But what, they don't know any better, so I don't go up and go, what's wrong with you? What I'm doing is watching your mama or daddy. If they're standing there and you got a fork and you walking up there and they like, oh, he'll get it. I'm like, well, what are you doing? Well, the way I like to train my children is, you know, experience. So you telling me you want your child to stick that fork in there and shock themselves? See, it's not the child. It's our parents, right? So God is like, look, I'm your father. So it's my responsibility, knowing that you now have been born again, you fighting the devil. Not only does he come at you with stuff you surely understand, he also come at you tricking you. He dress up like you want him to look. And here he come, claiming to be God even. He will do whatever he can to trick you, deceive you, get up in your life so he can do what? Destroy you. He don't want you to get no sleep. He don't want you to slumber at all. He want to take all your little money away from you, and he want to do whatever he can to make your life as depressing as he can since you a child of God, because you've been born again. Remember what Jesus said, you have to be, once you're born again, you're born. You're a child of God. So now the devil's like, okay, I got something for you. And now here's it. Attack, 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 attack. So now God's like, look, just like Peter thought he could do this on his own, that's like when they were talking about prayer. We assume if you're not here that you're somewhere, you know, on Wednesday, 6 to 8, we like to try to pray. If you're not doing that at home, 6 to 8, well, do it somewhere. At some point, you should be in prayer with God. Because if you're not praying, ain't no way you can deepen your relationship with God, and there's no way you can establish your faith in God, and there's no way you can receive. Jesus said, teach us how to pray. Our Father. So now I'm starting off knowing that God is my Father. Now in the book of Hebrews, I want to Hebrews chapter 4, I'm going to read something to you. This is what it says in Hebrews chapter 4, beginning at verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us lay hold our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So in other words, there are going to be times when our life, the enemy is coming against us. The pressure is so trying to come in on us to attack us and kill us and take us away, cause us to sin, cause us to do something we really don't want to do. The pressure is great. And God says, look, you have a high priest who has not been touched, or who has been touched with the feeling you're feeling right now, but he didn't sin. And he is in heaven pure before God. You need to learn to come to him boldly in time of need. Say, but that, how do you come to him? Well, the only way you can come is in prayer. Yeah, I mean, you can't just walk around. Now, people might say, well, do I need to kneel? Let me ask you a question. Now, some things I think you can eliminate very quickly by just asking certain questions. All right. If you're in the hospital and you're sick and you can't get out of bed, can you pray? Well then, all right, okay. All right, I mean, you know, if you're in the bed and you're sick and you can't get out of bed, can you pray? Well, of course you can. Well, then obviously you don't have to kneel to pray. Now, nothing wrong with kneeling. I ain't got a problem with it. But if you say, well, I just don't think I can kneel. Well, if your knees don't work, that ain't got nothing to do with praying. Yeah, prayer is about communicating with God. Now, it's true if you say, well, I ain't getting on my knees for nobody. Well, okay, now we got a problem. Because the Bible does say every knee gonna bow. So at some point, you're gonna end up on your knees. But if it's about the fact that you're just asking the question, that means you can pray anytime. You can pray while you're driving. You can pray while you're working at your desk. You can pray while you're laying there in your bed before you go to sleep. You can pray. Now, if you're just being lazy, that's different. You know, in other words, God, like, okay, you can do all kind of stuff all day long, but when it comes time to pray, you just can't seem to find the energy. That's different, I think. Okay? So we got to think about this when we're talking about it. We want to be reverential. That's why Jesus said, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, which you can deal with that a little bit later. But, you know, we're talking about our Father. He's God, but he's holy, but he's still Father. So if we have a Father that's holy and he tells us, don't let nobody lie to you. If you want to know the difference, whether that's a child of God or not, look at the consistent practice in their life of how they live. If they practice sin and they okay practicing sin, that is not God, that is the devil. Now, that doesn't mean that what? You can't have a problem. See, that's what we got to try to differentiate all this. You know what I mean? Some people can have addictions even. That don't mean they're not saved. They got a struggle they got to work, but they know it's a struggle. There's a difference between somebody accepting something and saying it's okay and a struggle. Well, I was made this way. Let's say I'm just a drink all the time. I drink till I pass out all the time. And people say, well, I say that, you know, drunkenness is a sin. And they say, well, God made me a drunk. I was born a drunk. I don't know what to tell you then. I mean, there's a problem then with what God is saying here, obviously. So somewhere we need to make a correction. I mean, you don't let nobody deceive you now. God has a list and he says that's on it. And you can't now buy in to say that is something God created. Because you then have no desire to get away from it. And then you've been deceived into believing that. And the Bible tells you don't let that happen. Let no man, including yourself, deceive you. They that sin are of the devil, they that practice sin are the devil, they that practice righteousness are the children of God. And everybody's not a child of God. Jesus said it. If you were of God, you'd love me, and if you love me, you love the Word, because I am the Word. In the beginning was the Word, so whatever the Word says, that's who I am. You got to love me, truth, more than what you want to do. Very simple, right? Very simple. But what we're trying to understand is this whole Father thing. Now, many of us, well, all of y'all, Let me say this. I was about to say, all of y'all has a father. No way you can't. Okay? Now, you might not know your daddy. Let me put it that way. I don't know nobody in here who don't. I mean, but you may not know your daddy. But let's be clear. All of us got a father. He's somewhere. Okay? So the bottom line is that whatever your relationship was or was not with your father, forget all of that. Because, you know, sometimes you'll hear people say that. Well, you know, God, the problem is, you know, if you and your dad used to beat you around. Your problem is you think God beats people around. Man, get all this out your head. Remember what we said last week? Teaching on all this kind of stuff, psychological this and all that, put all that aside. You have to accept who God says he is. God said that if evil people know how to treat their children right, surely I know how to do it and I'm a good God. So if you're making comparisons like that even, you have to say to yourself, I need to stop that. Because God doesn't compare himself to any man. God compares himself to himself, and whenever he compares himself to a man, he makes himself way out there. Something you've never experienced ever in your life. Like a man that'll let you stand there and deny him three times to his face, saying you don't know him when you've been walking around with him for 3 years, and then he forgive you. That's a level of forgiveness and that we don't even comprehend or understand. Most of us would say, after the first denial, that was enough. But here, God, where, while he don't even, we don't even like him, dies for us, right? So we don't know this Father. So we have to accept him, though, for what he says about himself. He's holy. Well, I know my dad. My dad was a military policeman. So this is why there's a lot of stuff that I do the way I do. Okay? I mean, you know, you get up, you had to make the bed. I've said these things in here before sometimes. Gotta make the bed. You just gotta make it. Why? I would say. You're gonna get back in it anyway. And he's like, just shake his head. He don't care. Make it. So you had to make it, and you had to make it tight. And you bring that cord in and bounce it and all this stuff. I remember one time when we were cleaning these houses that he had built. My brother and I had been there all day, and we came over, and there was these windows, you know, because when they would shoot that sheetrock mud, it would get on the windows. We had scraped all that stuff off, and we were so proud. Come on, Dad, see what we did. He picks me up, literally puts my face in the window and says, you see that? There were like these little bitty specks in the window. Now I could sit around saying, well, you know, see, that's why I got a problem with God, you know, because my daddy used to make me look a little bit of spicks instead of whatever. And it's like, look, stop all that. You got to understand something. It did make you pretty concerned about the specks you see now. If nothing else, sometimes it can get you on other people's nerves because they like, don't nobody care about that. Don't nobody care about that neither. Nobody care. So you care about it for yourself. You know, you get in my vehicle. You always get in my vehicle. You can always sit down. You'll never get in my vehicle and the seat have something on it that you couldn't sit on. I can't move it right away. Why? Because that's how he taught us. Keep it all neat. Put it where you put it, right? But is that God? Doesn't matter. We need to focus on what God says is God. God says, look, I'm holy, and I'm concerned about this arena of things and getting you to where I am. So you have to understand something. If God controls the kingdom, if he controls the world now, and we believe that, then it means everything going on in my life, once I've been born again and brought into his house, he allows to be orchestrated, just like with Peter. Satan have desired to sift you, and I'm going to let him. Now, I heard a very high priority religious leader, I won't call out their names, who doesn't matter, said that really they think that the way the Bible is written, the prayer of Jesus is a little wrong, where it says, lead us not into temptation. Because God wouldn't do that to you. And I'm thinking, what Bible you read? What God you don't know? The Bible says when Jesus was, the Spirit of God descended on Jesus, he was led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted, not of God, but of the devil. In other words, God, by his Spirit, led Jesus on purpose into the wilderness to confront our enemy. Because he's the only one who could do it. He sent him out there. Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and then here come the devil. He did everything he could to lie to him and figure out a way to get him and do whatever he could. He couldn't break him. And when it was over, the Bible says Jesus came out of the wilderness in the power of the Spirit and then went forward destroying the works of the devil. That's why the Bible says that's what his purpose was. That's why he was manifested. Now he's in heaven as the high priest, tempted in all ways we are, yet without sin. So when the devil coming at us, we're supposed to run to boldly get before the throne and say, God, that's something I said I would never do. And it looked like I'm about to do it. Please help me. Why? Because it could very well be that my father may be hearing things that come out of my mouth. He may be seeing things that are manifesting in my life. He may know my future. Your future has an encounter that you have to go through this right now. Because you got to learn. You got to get ready. Because you think you know, but you don't know. So he allows the devil what? Sift you. The devil has no idea when it's all over, where it's going to end, because he don't know. He just knows God has allowed you to go through. Why? Because like Job, he sees the fish drop. See, in the spirit, you don't see these things. You don't see none of it. You know it. You kind of sense it because you see stuff going wrong. And you're like, well, that ain't never went wrong before. Why is this happening? Be careful because God may have very well now be allowing a sifting so that what? You can deal with something about you that God is saying, I need you to get this right. I'm your father and I'm holy and I'm going to need you to be holy like me, which can mean all kind of things, attitudes, all kind of stuff that God. Now, God deals with us just like parents deal with children. If there's a little baby and they crawl up there with a fork, you don't go slapping the baby around. And if you do, that's why they take you to jail. It's called child abuse. But if you 10 and you got a fork and you walk up there, I expect your parent to deal with you different than they would deal with a baby that crawls up there with a fork. And this is the same thing with God. The Bible expects, God has an expectation, and as time goes on, his children grow in grace and grow in faith. Now, you might say, but Pastor, I don't know what makes you believe that. Think about this. Our Father. Now, I want you to see something in Hebrews, another place in Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to read verse 5 through 10. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5 through 10. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you as unto children. My son, despise thou not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and he scourges every son whom he receives. Now stop right there. So I want you to think about this. God is saying then that every single kid that he gets, you cannot get born again and think you're perfect, because we're not. And if we think we are, God gonna help us to see we not. Yeah, he's our father. Now watch how he compares himself, though, to make us really understand. Let's go a little bit further and look at what he says. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. So in other words, God compares himself to an earthly father only to help us understand in this arena. When it came to discipline, even earthly fathers discipline their children. He says, now, if they only do it, he says, really for their profit. He says, behind everything that these guys are doing, our dads, although we say, look, I love you and I'm doing this for you, also behind that is the fact that I can hear my mama way off in the distance. Don't go out there and embarrass me. And boy, she has something about that. Do not embarrass. Don't embarrass me or your daddy. She would say that all the time. So you up a muscle in your mind. Don't embarrass daddy. Don't embarrass mama. So actually, when you got beat, part of it was what the people thinking. Yeah, so if you're in church and you do something crazy, I remember we were in a funeral once. And I was sitting on the back row. And everybody was doing whatever they were doing. And the funeral was kind of quiet. And people were whatever. And I was telling my brother, I've always been a cynic, sarcastic and stuff. And so I looked over at him and I said, see all these people, man, they probably never did come. It's my uncle. I said, you know, because my uncle died pretty much by himself, you know, in his room. And I was like, you know, man, all these people don't care about nobody. I said, you know, I bet you right now, if he came up out that casket and went, well, I actually literally was that loud. My mama turned her head, snapped back, and she looked at me, and I knew, that's it. You're going to get it. You're going to get it after the funeral. He ain't going to get you now, but you're about to get it. But you're not going to get it because I'm trying to train you about how to act in a funeral. You're about to get it because you just embarrassed me, okay? But it's nonetheless discipline. And if nothing else I learned, look, if you're going to talk, talk lower in the funeral. Don't say, don't do nothing like that, not with mama in here. So God says our fathers disciplined us, and we gave them reverence. Think about it. Most people don't just hate their parents. Even with the discipline they get from their parents, most people do not just hate their parents. So Mother's Day come, you give them something. Father's Day come, you give them stuff. You know, happy Father, happy Mother. We give them reverence. Thank you, Dad. Thank you, Mom, whatever. He says, now, think about this. If they corrected us for their own benefit, sometime the discipline they gave us wasn't right. We know it wasn't right. Didn't even feel right when it was happening. But the reality is we still give them reverence. He says, how much more should we rather be in subjection to God, who is the Father of spirits? Now, so we're born again. We are now subject to him, and he's saying, look, I'm trying to train you. I want you to be like me. Now, the problem with this is we don't really get a choice. No different than kids growing up at home. The problem is, yeah, you can't never leave. I mean, unless God's to snatch you out of here because you just refuse. Because the Bible does say that. God will judge us sometime, and people just gone. But if we don't want to leave and we want to stay in the house, we can't leave. You know, when I was growing up, I used to go in my room and sometimes I would say, man, I'll be glad when I can leave here. Couldn't wait to leave home. Mom always telling me what to do. Dad always telling me what to do. I'll be glad when I can go do my own thing. And you don't realize, and I've said this before in here, your own thing means your own bills, your own job, your own got to get up. Ain't nobody even call you to wake you up. Seriously, when I left, man, my mom didn't even call me. They were serious when I left. They were like, my mom and dad didn't. They ain't calling you to wake you up. They didn't go on no job interview with you. They didn't do none of that. You know, you had to do it. Now, when I went by to visit, they always asked me, son, how you doing? I'm doing all right. But it wasn't like somehow they were coming back to rescue me from what I was doing. I had to go do it. If my car got a flat tire, I had to get it fixed. I remember one time my engine blew up. I remember one time my windshield wiper stopped working and I was trying to get to work and it was raining. What'd you go to do? Go to work. Because you call them people, they wasn't trying to hear it. You just had to do what you had to do. But at least you left home. I'm out of here. I ain't got to be up in here no more. You can't leave God's house. That's the problem. You know, you may not like it, but God in control of the house. No matter where you go or how you say you're going, you can't leave God's house. So it's better to just subject yourself to him and submit to what he's trying to do. So when stuff start blowing up, you get on your knees and you're like, God, look, hold up. Primary communication needs to be with you. You are my father, and I need to understand, what is going on right now in my life? Why is this happening? Why am I feeling this tension? Why am I feeling depressed? I shouldn't have any feeling of depression at all. The Bible says, unless I have a medical condition. Now, we ain't talking about that. I'm just talking about normal people who don't normally have depression. Why am I depressed? You know, I noticed one thing, and I have to be very careful when I'm doing it. It's like today's environment. You know, if you're like, you could end up like Lot. You know, if you read and stay with it too much, it'll vex you. It start vexing your spirit. It start vexing you. All of a sudden, you're going through the day feeling like you got a monkey on your back. I don't know if I should say monkey. Let's say we got something else on our back. We got a refrigerator on our back. Oh, Lord. You know, so you got this on your back. And you're like, I need to get this off my back. What is it? I've been putting too much negativity in here. I'm constantly reading. And the other day I found myself saying, you know what? I went and got the Psalms, put them on my Bible app, and just let it read. You know, blessed is the man that walketh in the counsel of God. And it just kept going. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And what happens is that word begins to build you back up so that you understand, one, you're not in the kingdom of darkness. You're in the kingdom of light. There's a lot of things going on that, yeah, we may not understand. There's a hostility today toward Christians and just Christianity in general. Things that people would never have said that they're saying now and that you got to look at and deal with and hear that can vex you if you're not careful. You have to stay with God, but you have to understand these things are happening for a reason. But in order for me to deepen my relationship with God, I got to be able to get my faith established in him. And like I said, God, I need your help in things. I got to go at him as a dad. See, this is where you got to understand something. You got to understand what God is saying. First and primary, I'm your father. I don't think a lot of people understand this. They're like, well, I go to church, and they say they're Christians. But they don't understand they have a relationship that needs to be deepened with a father who is in heaven, who has made up his mind that he gonna get you to be like him. Now, isn't that crazy? Think about it. If I was at home the whole time and my dad never told me, well, son, you know, I'm gonna be doing some stuff because I got plans for your life, too. Yeah, my mom and dad used to tell me, and I tell people all the time, I think the only reason I didn't go to jail because I was scared. I wasn't going to get out. Yeah, ain't because, oh, I was just so, you know, jailless. No, I just knew it because they were serious. Everything my mom and dad had told me, they did it. So when my father told me, he said, son, I'm telling you. Now, look, I'll do anything I can to help you. If you go to jail, you're there by yourself. And my mama said it. I said, she said, look, you ain't going to be embarrassing me. That's what she always would say to me. Man, y'all ain't going to even send nobody for me? Ain't happening. So I already knew. I'm not going down there. I don't want to be nowhere near that place. I don't even want to be standing outside. They make a mistake. Take me in there for a little while. I didn't want to have nothing to do with the place because they had made it so understood. I'm not getting you out. And see, God is trying to do this. God's like, look, if I could just get people to understand, I'm their father, and I'm telling you, no matter what, you're not getting away from me. Then it starts making more sense, some of the pressure I get in my life. You know, in other words, and let's say, for instance, and let me just use quick example I come up with maybe. Let's say, for instance, that there's a certain group of people I don't like, whatever they might be. I just don't like them. Now, here we go. I'm going to go back to John. In 1 John, and we're looking at, we were in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 10. This is what it says. In this, the children of God are manifest and the children of the devil. Whosoever doth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. All right, so now let's say there's a group of people I don't like, but he's a Christian. God ain't tolerating it. God is going, I'm going to consistently be having encounters, watch this, with that. Why? Because God's got to get my attitude right. Yeah, I'm telling you, whatever it is about, you ain't getting off this planet without God fixing that, or you coming off early. Or you're going to constantly be what? You're going to constantly be running up against that. Why? Because God, all right, let me try something else. I know y'all seen me have it. I just want to give you one more. Let's say, for instance, every time I come out, this is how I come out the room. Okay. My shoes are not tied, okay? Sean, get that right there. Can you see that? My shoes ain't tied, all right? Every time I come out, that's what I look like. My father said, son, you can't go to church like that. Well, why not? Because, son, that's not right. Well, who say it ain't right? Son, I say it ain't right. Well, who are you to tell me? Well, today, that can work kind of. It's working a little bit. Some kids then grew up so big, their parents scared to tell them now. Yeah. You know, they towering over their parents, and their parents like, nah, if you catch them when they little, who said I can't? Pah! I say, oh. Pastor, you tell us abuse people? No, just give them a little something to work with. So they understand that no matter how small you are in the future to them, they got a fear that you might come out with something. That's how God is, though. God wants us to recognize that, look, I'm trying to deal with you gingerly and tenderly. I'm trying to chasten you. The word don't mean beat all the time. It doesn't mean scourge. Do you understand I'm bigger than you? You understand I run everything. I created the devil. Do you understand? I created the earth. I created the sun, the moon, the stars, everything. One angel killed 189,000 people. Now, I'm going to tell you again. I need you to stop doing that. Who are you? Let me try it another way. And he's always trying all these different little ways. Then finally, all of a sudden, bam, something happens. And we say, I don't understand why this is happening to me. And it's like, what? I mean, you're going to see consistently whatever it is that what God's been trying to tell me about, you're going to see it in your life. All you got to do is just stop every day and watch your life and see what kind of keeps popping up that aggravates you or that bothers you or that you just wish would leave the planet. And if that could just be over with, I'd be happy, you say. God is in there. Your father's in there somewhere. Look for him. Look for him. Why? Because he's controlling everything and he's got something he wants to deal with you about. Let me try an example. And honey, this is not true. I just want to use an example. I'll use my own wife. Let's say, for instance, my wife, for whatever the reasons are, I have something that attitude-wise with her that needs to be fixed, whatever that might be. And every time it comes up, I act the same way. Okay? I act entirely the same way all the time. I never change that. Eventually, what's going to happen, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to walk away, and I'm going to have a sense that that wasn't right. That's how God initially deals with us. He gives you a sense. You have a conscience. You have the Holy Spirit. He gives you a sense that ain't right. Now, you must act on what he's doing. If you don't act on it, go back and apologize, then you start hardening a little more. So then you do it again. God keeps trying to tell you. Sooner or later, something is going to happen. Now, what that happened looked like, I can't tell you. God has an array of tools in his toolbox to get your attention. And what you don't want is him to have to get your attention any harder than it was necessary. It's like parents. Don't make me come over there, my mama would say. I understood what that meant. Keep doing what you're doing. Because when I'm on my way, see, she wouldn't stop. Once she was on her way, she was coming. It was too late now. You know, she done told you. Now I'm coming. I understand, Mama. No, you don't. The one whipping I got from my father, and I'm going to stop right now. What am I saying? The one whipping I got from my father whole time I was alive. He was the only one I needed. I remember he was getting me, and I was steadily going, Daddy, I'm not going to do it anymore. He said, yes, you are. Yes, you are. I said, I'm not. I promise I'm not. Yes, you are. He was holding me by the arm, and he was getting me, and I was swinging and jerking and anything I could, but I couldn't get away. And he was steadily hitting me. And then finally, I jerked and got away, and I backed in the corner like this. And I said, he said, you're going to do it again? I said, why do you keep asking me that? Because every time I say I'm not, you say I am. And then you just start beating on me again. He said, because you are. And then boom, 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 boom. And I swear, after that day, I understood at least with my dad. That's what my mom would always say. I'm telling your daddy. That's all she would have to say. Then it was like, oh, because I already knew what it was coming. See, folks, listen to me. Go through the Bible and look at what happens when God done had enough. Go and look with Hezekiah when he got sick, boom, and he was about to die. And Isaiah came in and said, you finna die. Get your house in order. Bible said he turned his face to the wall, started crying. And the Lord heard him. Bible said before Isaiah got out, I told him, go back. Tell him I'll give him 15 more years. But every time, the Bible says in one place, King Asa, he sought out the physicians. Boom, gosh, struck him, right? Look at all of these different prophets. Balaam. God tell Balaam, look, if the people come to get you, go with them. Balaam gets up and go on his own. Bible said the angel of the Lord met him to kill him. Look at Moses. God took all that time to try to get Moses straight. The Bible says that Moses started heading off to Egypt and the Lord stopped to kill him. Wait a minute, he was on his way to do what God told him. He hadn't circumcised his kids. And the Bible says that his wife, she did the circumcision and threw the foreskin at his feet and said, you a bloody husband to me. God like, look, I'd rather your wife mad than you have me mad. I told you to circumcise that boy. Every time God gets angry enough, he would come against people, either sickness or he'd kill them. Even his own children. Because God's like, look, I'm the father of spirits, y'all. I need you to understand that this flesh job you're doing right now, this ain't as important as you staying out of that real place called hell. It's a real place. And so God's like, look, I need you to get your primary communication together. I'm your father. When you come at me, put the God thing on the side for the moment and understand something. As your daddy, see, God is so impersonal. God might let you slide. Why not? I mean, he's God. He got a lot to do. But Father, that's a personal reference to you and your relationship with him. So if you don't spend any time talking to your Father, or you don't spend any time establishing your faith in your Father, or you don't spend any time asking him for what you need, he's going to correct us. So if we start off understanding Jesus' first priority says to us in prayer, recognize God as Father. We're going to spend more time talking about some other things later. But look, let's go ahead and we're going to close now. Let every head bowed, every eye closed.